Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
When people ask, is everything a conspiracy? The answer is yes.
Who and what is controlling everything and why? They practice sorcery. I can't argue against magic.
I don't know what it is that we live on, but I believe it's a realm. This realm that we live in is the lowest level of heaven, highest level of hell.
Chicken snake gods and the Anunnaki and sorcery. If Sam says the chicken snake god is running everything, I'm literally in the world of crazy. I'm winning.
You're losing. Conspiracy Social Club, aka Deep Waters.
Anthony, what's up, buddy?
What's going on?
Not much. Sammy boy, my dad. Yeah, we started.
Have we started?
Yeah. I just had a conversation with my father. My 77-year-old grandfather-in-law. So my sister's husband's father, perfect health till he was 75. Got lung cancer, had been smoking his whole life, but was always a great man, and passed away, and happened very quickly. But the cool thing was that his son, his wife of 55 years, his daughter, his, you know, daughter-in-law, son-in-law, you know, son-in-law, they were all around him telling stories. And he listened to the whole thing for the whole day.
Yeah.
And then he took his last breath, exhaled, and my brother-in-law says the color in his face completely changed. He just went, all the color left his face, and he just died, man. God. He went on, he passed on. That's he just took crazy. His last, yeah, took his last breath, and my brother-in-law was holding his mother, you know, he's holding the woman who'd been in his life for 55 years, whatever. And there's a great picture of them holding onto him. And what was amazing was that they said everything went away. It was just like your spirit leaves, man, your life force, whatever it is. My dad's on the phone, and he's 81. He goes, hey, listen, he goes, here's a formal request. He goes, I don't want any of the grandchildren in, because I don't know when I'm going to kick off, but I'm 81. So, you know, he's got a belly, give a shit. He goes, my sister said, the fucking guy's got a belly like this, eats what he wants. If his heart could, it would get out of his body and slap him across the face, because he's just, but his life force keeps him going. He goes, when I kick off, I don't want any of the grandchildren in the room. That's a gruesome sight to see. The minute your death rattle, get him out of there. I've been in the room plenty of times for that. I was like, Jesus Christ, these are the conversations.
Well,
you have.
Let me ask you a question. Mm. Hi, I'm Sam Tripoli. Good to be here.
Sam Tripoli.
Has any of your children's grandparents passed yet?
No.
That is the first. That tends to be the first indication of mortality to children.
Yes.
And the first one is very, you hope. But like, I mean, people pass, but when your grandparents pass,
sure,
you tend to be very close to them.
Yeah.
And it's very rough. I remember when my grandmother, on my dad's side, my grandma passed very early, and it kind of shocked me. Like, you know, my dad's side of the family, they were much more hardcore in terms of, I don't know how to describe it. My grandparents weren't as emotionally attached to the grandchildren the way my mother's parents were. So when my grandma on the other side passed, it was sad, but it wasn't like when my mother's parents started dropping.
Yeah.
That was earth shattering. Like when my grandfather, my mother's father passed, it was like the patriarch is gone.
Oh yeah, dude. That's heavy shit. That's heavy shit, man.
That is like
heavy shit. My grandfather, I was very close to both my grandmother and my grandfather. And when they passed, I remember I felt like I'd gotten everything I wanted out of that relationship. So it wasn't devastating that way. It was sad, but I had squeezed every fucking, you know, they were in their 80s, and I'd spent as much time as I could with them. So I had, a lot of times when people die, you have regret. You know, because you want to spend more time.
It's interesting because for me, what you're saying in a clunky way is that there comes a time where you've stayed too long, in my humble opinion.
Yeah, that's interesting.
Right? Yeah. Like, and I see this playing out in some scenarios in life. There is a time where, and I pray, you know, when I look at my daughters, they're very young. I go, I got to stay till about 80. That's when I got to stay. Yeah. And I have to be fully functional and in control of my b-hole. Okay.
Right.
Because I do not want them have a clean daddy. Even though daddy cleans them out. I mean, right. My daughter's been having blowouts and I've been just getting in there, just cleaning. Right.
Yeah.
And, but I don't want them to do that. That is one of my goals in life, that my daughters don't have to clean daddy.
Yeah. That's,
but there comes a time where you're like, am I infringing on their life?
Dude, it's so interesting. All those conversations are so interesting. And that's why you got to laugh in life. You got to make sure you measure your life on how often you laugh, which is why when I'm in Buffalo, like this weekend, Thursday, Friday, Saturday.
I wish I could have been there with you.
You come see me do some stand-up.
I wish I could have been there.
It's Duff Davidoff. We could reprise the great shows.
Yeah, I'll get Steve Byrne out there.
I would just split time with all
you guys.
And
just have Stevie walking around, like, who gets fucked out of their time? Surprise!
And you'd go like this. We were in Afghanistan. And Steve would be all anal about like time and stuff. And fucking Sam would be like, Steve's got soggy diapers right now. And Steve would get so mad.
Welcome to the Steve Byrne tour, where he does 5 minutes at the end of the show because we got to wrap it up. Every time, Steve would be like, fucking get off stage. What the fuck?
Oh, dude, we would just kill each other.
Guys, I have a couple tickets left. This was a miscommunication on the amount of tickets that are available for my... I'm doing these small rooms, and I'm working on new material. I already have like 40 minutes of some pretty good new shit.
Yeah, good.
Because I literally talk to myself all day.
Me too.
My daughter,
fucking me
for
too.
The first time ever, caught me talking to myself. It was the weirdest thing ever. Because I was holding her, and I was just lost in thought. And I kind of snapped back in. I just saw her going.
Yeah, dude.
I'm like, yeah, you just learned today. You got a weird dad.
Dude, I'm fucking can't believe you're saying this. My son talks to himself. He's in the back seat, he's listening to music and he's talking. He always talks to himself. And I'm looking at him, I go, just stay in your own world listening to music, huh? And he goes, literally my favorite thing to do. And by the way, he was 7, maybe 8. Literally my favorite thing to do. They find a new word. Literally my favorite thing to do. Cool. All right. Weird. I'm like, I'm kidding. In his own world. Whatever, man. Next thing I know, I realize I'm talking to myself.
Oh, yeah. I do that all the time. I'm like, oh, my God, that dude talking to himself. I'm like, oh, my God, I'm talking to myself.
Dude, I'm literally having conversations. I'm having fights. I'm beating up a gang. I'm trying to write jokes. And it's not even that I'm writing. A lot of times I'm just fucking talking.
Dude, when a guy walks by me, I've already decided how I will kill him.
Oh, dude, that's what I
do. Every time they walk by, I'm like that Sherlock Holmes movie. Crush. Boom. Rip your dick out. Make you eat it. Stare at you. Tell you I'll kill your whole family. Walk off. Dude,
right? Kid Dynamite looks at me and goes like this. I'm sorry. She goes, she's like, who are you fighting right now? Because she's talking to me and I'm going like this.
Because
I go through these scenarios where I'm like, what if a dude ran it up with like a fucking, like tried to punch me in the face or punch somebody I'm with and what I would do to them. And I'm going through this horrible fucking, I'm scalping them. I'm holding it up. I'm like, I'm doing all kinds of shit.
And then if you don't listen to their stories that go literally nowhere, like, I mean, women should all have to take open mic classes to know how to tell a fucking story.
Oh my God.
Because they just go for everywhere.
I like Kid Dynamite. She's got her feet on the ground. I love that girl so much. But she the other day, I'm like trying to think and write and stuff. And I'm sitting there. And all of a sudden she goes, and I pick up on the story as she's talking to me. I pick up on it like a minute in. And she goes, and then me and my friends are sitting in the back seat of this car. And then this guy comes up and he kind of like, he doesn't hit us, but he's like, woo, and he's crazy. And then I see, then we're at the beach. And I realize, and I go, are you telling me about a fucking dream?
Yeah.
Are you taking my time up about a dream?
Oh, yeah.
Don't tell me about your dream. Because nothing happened.
Yeah. It's just unbelievable the amount of shit that we have to put up with.
Steve Byrne has a joke about that. He's like, you'll never believe what happened. He's like, no, his girlfriend
almost happened.
You'll never believe what almost happened. He goes, nothing, because it's almost
quick. Yeah, hang up. But it's like, I'm paying for everything. I just want to zone out. Let me zone out.
My dad came to my rescue. My mom and my sister were asking me a question about something, like the grocery list or when I plan on going here so I could do something with the betting. I don't even know what the fuck it was. And my mother finally goes, are you listening, Brian? And my sister goes, yeah, he's here, but he's not here as usual. And my father goes, you guys are talking to him about stuff that doesn't pay the bills and that he's never thought about. It's like asking a straight guy about polka dots.
Yeah.
Like, hey, dude, what do you think about polka dots? First time I've thought about polka dots ever, actually. I don't think about polka dots.
I don't care.
That's not in a straight guy's brain. I don't know why. Right. That's why you need gay people, because we wouldn't have polka dots if you didn't have really flamboyant fashion people who are like, we need more polka dots, right? I mean, but it's true. So it's like, there's some things I don't care about. And he's like, he's thinking about how to pay the bills, which means I make my money off my imagination.
Yeah.
It sucks. I wish I could go and do a regular job.
Why do you need me to be emotionally? Call one of your friends and talk. Yeah, I am not here.
I'm thinking about
how I'm going to pay for everybody.
Well, dude, wait till you have a daughter. And you do.
I do. Yeah. And wait till you have a daughter. What am I going to go back in time?
No. Because what I mean is, wait till your daughter turns 12, 13. And my daughter is emotionally very mature.
Yeah.
And my daughter's very smart. People always say their kids are smart. I hate that. But my daughter has a lot of social intelligence. Let's put it that way. Yeah, she gets straight A's and all that. But she's just one of those people that is very intelligent. And I've gone through a divorce. And I thought that I could just kind of, you know, sweep it under the rug. Be fine. No, dude. There's fallout from a divorce.
Of course,
there's fucking heavy emotional fallout from shit like that. And you better contend with it. I don't contend with it. I'm an emotional fucking retard because I'm a comic and I'm a misfit and I just turn it into a joke.
There's a lot with that, Brian.
I got problems, bro.
There's a lot. As you're a kid, you're emotionally more attached to your mother.
Yeah.
And you don't appreciate dad as much because dad tends to be disciplinarian and all that stuff. But I feel like people understand their fathers as they get older. You don't really understand dad until you enter life, like real life. Not like, well, you know, your parents are just basically protecting any real world consequences from hitting you. When you hit real life, when you go to work, when you got a boss that's busting your balls, when you're figuring out how the fuck I'm going to pay this rent, that's when you understand your father. Mangiabrani always said, I remember he said something to me about, you know, he'd been married and he loves his wife. His wife is a beautiful, wonderful human being. And like, I don't care how hot and wonderful your wife is. At some point, she's just your wife.
Oh, yeah.
It doesn't matter what kind of smoke show she is.
That's right.
At some point, this is the woman that busts your balls all the time.
Yeah.
Right?
Oh, yeah.
And like, how do you deal with that? And like, when your dad and your mom fought, you get mad at dad because you love mom. But as you get older, you realize, oh, dad was dealing with his crazy chick.
My father's been very open about that.
Right?
With his wife.
As much as your mother loved you, and she was somebody's pain in their ass.
Yeah, dude. Yes, dude. I mean,
my dad was a complete fuck up. I mean, in every sense of the word.
Yeah.
My mother put up with a lot. But I guarantee you, my father, my whole thing with my dad is I think my dad was at a time where if you weren't married by 22, it meant you were gay. Right?
Yeah.
So
you
had to get married out the gate or else you were a bugger.
Yeah, man. Dude, it's true. And so he had to shut down that part of him.
My dad just wanted to go on a fucking ass tapping tour.
Of course.
And that's not society let you. My dad wanted to move to San Diego. My mom didn't want it. Now you're fucking crushing dreams. And that becomes this thing. And the things that I've done in my life, Brian, my dad would love to have done, but he that was not an option at the time.
Yeah, hardest thing for me to live down will always be that I wasn't a very present father while my kids were growing up, because they're 10 and 13. I was always traveling because I was doing stand-up, and I was writing in my head, or I was worrying about not writing, or I was trying to get to the next level in comedy and in show business. You know how that is. And I didn't spend enough fucking emotional time with my children, and I sure as fuck didn't with my ex. I was not a great husband. I was a misfit. And you know, it's funny because now at the ancient age, and I'm old, of 54, I'm now dating a woman. I'm with a woman. I'm very serious with somebody who is, she's 23 years my junior. I mean, and my daughter brought that up to me, but I want to make this one work, and I want to make this one right in every sense of the word. Even at that age, it's. You know, what you see is you make this decision to be committed and with all that comes in, which means you put yourself last. And I've never really done that. You got to put yourself last in the general.
Yes.
You know, as a performer. Yeah. Thanks, buddy. You read my mind. You got to put yourself last in the general scheme of things. Right.
Right.
Daddy's a little dehydrated. Hold on. Let me get some liquid there.
Why? What did Daddy do last night?
On a plane. I went to the Malibu chili cook-off. But here's the thing about the old man. He still gets a little, there are still a couple of ladies that kind of like a crusty old fuck like me. I'll get a little, you know, they might recognize me. I get a little flirtation.
Yeah.
And I'm there. I'm doing my thing. And some hot mom.
Yeah.
Who might not be so happy.
Oh, by the way, I saw my first grandma I wanted to hit. I'm like, I'm at that age where I could kind of hit grandmas too. Like grandmas who had kids really early and their kids had kids really early. Yeah. And you're like, and she's like, I'm a grandma. I'm like, okay, I'm in the gilfs now.
Well, listen, I'm 54. I see 40 somethings that are so hot, especially when you're in Malibu. You know those super hot chicks who come to LA in the 90s and they're the hottest things ever. And now they're 44 and they're still hot as shit.
Yeah.
Now they're not what they were in that
Nobody
sense.
Is.
But they've worked it and kept it together and married a billionaire or a millionaire. So now they're living in Malibu with their perfect kids and they're great, you know,
Nobody's
suburban.
Perfect.
But I mean, they still got it and you're 54 and it doesn't mean you stop looking. It doesn't mean, but part of what all of this stuff is letting go of all that, being with one person. That in a way for everyone, and that's a metaphor for whatever it is you do, commitment in general to a career, to a person, to yourself, is a form of a death in a way. You got to kill off the other side that defined you for a long time. You got to kill off the quote unquote fun. It's like when you get married and you have children, for example, you got to kill off the love affair you have with the group of friends you had that when you went out and fucked around just in general, right?
Yeah.
You don't have time.
You know who does that better? Women are really good at
Oh my God, I moved on.
They'll hang out. You hear women complain about it, how they have a friend that only is around when they don't have a boyfriend. And as soon as they get a boyfriend, they're gone.
It's incredible.
Women are much better at just like leaning into it.
Not me. I love my friends. I miss my group. That's why this is so important to me.
Well, you know, dude, it's just like, you know, it's just like men and women mature at different times. And like, I really do believe, you know, obviously, I have my issues with the mother of my children who I even though she seems to hate me, I still love and appreciate everything she does for the kids and all that stuff. And, you know, hopefully at some point I'll be able to be there more, you know, once she, you know, lets me do that stuff. But it's like
we're getting so personal in this podcast.
Well, it's just like, well, because that's what makes the podcast great. I was telling somebody the other day, like, podcasting is like the more authentic you are, the more people appreciate it. Like, I can't tell you how much I look at stuff and I'm like, that Hollywood is producing and be like, it's so unauthentic. There's no energy to it. It's just going through motions and stereotypes. There's not, people love podcasting because of how authentic it is. And this is a moment. Like, I wish I could be in my kid's life more. It's not my choice. This is the thing I have to go through, and that's life. And we will deal with it as it goes, and life is it, and hopefully there'll be a time where it won't be like that. But, you know, just like, but it's like men's timelines are different. And I, and the whole point of this rant is like, I had kids right at the right time when I was ready to have children. I tapped all the ass that I really needed to.
Yeah. You've changed a lot, bro.
I go out. There's always a girl, even at my fucking sloppy age, that gives me a look like she wants a shot title.
Yeah.
And you know what I do? I go to bed. I go back to the hotel room. I eat like a little shit. And then I just go to the fucking back to my room.
That's right.
And pretend like I'm going to try to read this book. I keep buying books. I get 10 pages in. And I like, I fucking hate this. And then I'm just going to have
What book did you buy? What books have you bought? Because you can listen to them.
I don't want to.
When you're driving.
I'm having trouble. Like, dude. Like, I read to my daughters my books, and, like, they don't pay attention, and I can't get mad because I'm checking out, too. I'm like, we're both checking out on this kid's
book. You have the same attention span that I do. Like, you have ADHD, and I do, too. I suffer from it. My son suffers from it. It's a real thing. But what I do is I just buy these books on tape, and I just take my time. I'm listening to a course on the French Revolution. Why would I listen to the French Revolution? Oh, I don't know, because it fucking informs everything about how all of us live. The liberal democracies that we live in, where we have representative government, where we get to vote, speak our minds, that we don't have a nobility that just takes our land, that we're not serfs, that all started in France. That revolution and the intellectual architecture started in France, and then Napoleon just took over, and we went, that's a bad idea. Careful with a standing army and a charismatic general, because they always take over and take over the whole. So there's all that stuff that went on.
No, I totally agree, dude.
So, but anyway, so
we live in,
why did I bring that up? Yeah, the point is that when you're driving, you can listen. Listen, all
I need
of you.
To do that because I now turn off the radio.
Forget books.
When they go crazy, when they start getting marked.
Forget books. Like, do this. Just go to the teaching company. Go to audible.com. And they have courses. It's called The Teaching Company. You can go and listen to an entire college course, Harvard, Princeton, Yale. It's available sometimes for $40-$50. Maybe sometimes it's $100, but it's 30, 45,
I'm thinking about becoming 50 a
lectures,
lawyer.
50 lectures, half hour each. And I promise you, if you do that, you want to learn about the history of the Middle East, history of China, the history of just, and it'll take you literally, it'll take you 20 hours.
You and your kids
20
love that
hours.
Word.
Yeah, literally. But you can educate yourself so well and just get a comprehensive understanding of how the world goes so that when somebody says 9/11 was an inside job, you can go.
We'll get into that in a few.
You're stupid.
We'll get into that in a few. Guys, a couple things I want to talk to you about. obviously, over the weekend, a lot of sadness in the art world. Not just in comedy, but now in acting.
Yeah.
You know, Michael K.
Williams.
I mean, dude, what?
I love that man.
A wonderful actor. And I got to be honest with you, Brian. I know you're from the theater touchbutt community. Mm-hmm. Actors drive me nuts.
Yeah.
They just do. They just drive me nuts. And to me, it's just become rich kid fucking playtime. But man, this guy really... really, really, really was powerful in what he did. And, you know, here we are. Another drug overdose, just like the comedy community in Los Angeles, getting rocked. Three people lost. Our good friend, Kay Quigley, is in the hospital fighting, and we love her very much.
We do. I love Kate. And Kate's always been somebody that I really consider a good friend. For a long time, and a comic, a real comic, and, wow. And just a really good person, man, really fucking good person, and a talented person, and just I love her, man. I've always thought of Kate, and I don't use this word a lot. Kate's a real comic. Kate, with all the sphere that comes with that,
right?
The self-destructive aspects of her life,
yeah.
And the constructive aspects of her life. She's an artist. She's for better or for worse, but she's a deeply good human being. Dysfunctional, like I am, like you are, like the rest of us. Like any comic worth their salt. And I have such a deep love for dysfunctional
normal
misfits.
People aren't funny.
That's true. And Kate's a beautiful example of what a real comic is. And I really took that hard, man. I was like, I'm so glad that at least she's out of the ICU and she's, it's going to be a long haul, but hey, listen.
I love her very much. Yeah. I've known Kate for a very long time. Kate called me up one time a long time ago and was like, I'm thinking about like, just like doing this bikini kind of thing on the internet. And you know, I would say this was like 6-7 years ago almost. And that was kind of when I was starting to wake up to the power of the internet and how like Hollywood, the power of Hollywood is dying, and the fucking how big the internet was getting in terms of like being able to create a career. And I'm like, dude, you just need to get, all you need to do is get eyeballs on you. And she really laid into that, and I'm super happy for her. And, you know, she started having a lot of success, and with success comes haters, but she was always really great at dealing with it. And it's like, and you know, people don't realize how hard it is to become a national headliner. It is so insane. And the problem is that we live in a room, we live in a community in Hollywood where so many people are. So we think that is par for the course. And it is truly not.
It's not.
I mean, let's go to South Florida where your fucking feature is a fucking murderer and he can't get the headliner because he just doesn't have that credit that they need, which means nothing, but he's killed. It's so hard, dude. And she did it, man. She did it, man. And like, I had a lot of respect. And you know, when I started in LA in 99, I'd say 99, 2000, I started doing stand-up at a place called the Crooked Bar. And it was downstairs at this rock club that's no longer there on the corner of Sunset and Laurel Canyon. It's not like Louis the something. It's like a nightclub. But man, it was a really famous rock club for a very long time. And the Crooked Bar was downstairs. And this French couple was like, you're very funny. We want to give you your first, your own night. You run it. And it was the first time my name was on a marquee in Los Angeles.
That was a good French accent.
Thank you.
You're very funny.
I do it.
That's amazing, dude. I thought for sure
that I don't do accents because it's too easy.
It was so crazy. Can you do the French thing one more time? What did they say?
So you're very good. I like you is what you do. And see, and then
dude, that's
and
so
you know what's
good,
so funny about you guys? You guys didn't even realize I was doing a particular region right there.
Do you speak fluent French?
I do, but
fuck.
I do, but this whole thing about a former lover, I vowed never to do.
Oh, you gotta start putting accents into your act.
Brian. God. You need to see me live.
Well, your Korean one was sick. How do you do Korean again?
That. But back to what I'm saying. So everything that, of all the people I started, maybe three of them still do stand up.
Yeah.
It's such a hard journey. And to break to that next level is truly amazing.
Yeah.
And, you know, for me, man, there was a period, Brian, in my life where I'd lost, in a three-year period, 15 people. Like, imagine that. 15 people.
To drugs?
To drugs, alcohol, yeah. Heart attacks, cancer, all this stuff. Like, super tragic, man. Super tragic. And, you know, the hardest thing is when a comic that I know is so funny and has just always been trying to hustle and their life is taken quickly and they never get the love they deserve. And it's such a hard thing to understand because that's the funniest thing about all these social justice ones. There's nothing fair about comedy. Comedy is brutal.
It should be.
Tall.
It should be. Comedy's honest. You can't fake comedy, and I love it. I love comedy because you can't fake it. You can't fake fighting, you can't fake comedy, and you can't fake dance. You're either good or you're not, and you know it right away. You know, if you're not good at fighting, you get knocked the fuck out when you try to fight in the octagon or in a K-1 cage, whatever it is. And I feel the same way about comedy. You can talk all about how your agenda and whatever it is you have and what you think is fair. Are you funny or not, motherfucker? Get up there and let's see you. Follow Sam Tripoli. Follow Bill Burr. You know, follow Steve Byrne. Follow some people like that. Let's see what you got after that. That's when you know. So it's the great equalizer to me. You can talk about being an artist all you want. Can you bring it? And that's so important. But I do want to say that I addiction's a real thing. And you know about this. Fucking Anthony knows about this. You lost your brother, for Christ's sake. Did you lose him to fentanyl?
We thought it was fentanyl at first, but it ended up just being he took too much. He had just got out of rehab, and he didn't do heroin for like
six months
or something like that. Yeah. I mean, the next
heroin
day,
the next day,
the next day he got out of rehab.
He just had to go back to it. So Michael K. Williams, same thing. I guess heroin was his. And I love that guy. I saw him one time at a premiere for Ride Along, and he was there. And I just went up to him. I said, "I love you, man. With him on The Wire, I just think that guy was such a special actor." And he's my age, 54. They found him in his New York City apartment, but he just couldn't stop doing.
He looks way younger than you.
I know that. He couldn't stop doing heroin, man. I guess he went back to it. And my buddy Frank Grillo did two movies with him, and Frank was so sad. And I am too, but it's the same thing, right? So your brother just he went back to it.
Yeah.
I don't know. I just think if you're doing coke, if you're doing heroin, guys, you got to know that people are stepping on it with fentanyl, and you have no idea. You have no idea whether it's good or not. You don't know that. If you can get it to a lab, fine. But fucking listen, you're rolling the dice. And I know too many people that do blow. I know too many people, and I don't know a lot of people that do heroin. But fuck, man, you're rolling the dice. So
here's where we're gonna get into some stuff. Okay, so we lost some people, obviously. Fuquan Johnson, rest in peace, man. I met you a couple times. I didn't know you.
I heard
that
great
well.
Things about him. I didn't know him.
But it's like super tragic, man, right? Like super tragic, okay? And then we lost Enrico Colin, Colangeli. I don't want to butcher his name. Rest in peace. One of my very good friends. It was his best friend. And based on the conversations, it's kind of like when I lost Brody Stevens. Like, and, you know, even Freddie Soto was kind of like, we had him. And then one day I got a call and he's gone. And you're like, what is going on with that? Okay. That is super tragic. It's super sad. Here is something that's weird to me. I want you to look up. Do you know who the third person that passed away was?
Michelle Williams?
No.
Somebody?
Her name is Natalie Williamson.
Yeah, Natalie Williamson, sorry.
Find me anything on Natalie Williamson.
Can't find anything.
Who is this person?
I looked it up.
Who is this person? Every time
I don't think she was a comedian.
No, dude. Yeah. She supposedly worked at like Big Wang's, I think, in... Who is this?
I think she was dating Fuquan.
Find me one social media thing on her.
Yeah.
She died age 33. Every time you look up, who is it? It is see Fuquan or Kate Quigley. There is not a social media for a girl who is, yeah, who is she?
Well, I think she was dating, from what I heard, she was there with Fuquan, with Fu.
Find me a picture. Yeah. Spend time on that. Find me a picture. Find me a social media thing. Stop. Yeah. Find me one person saying rest in peace.
What are you saying? There's a conspiracy?
Who is she?
I don't know, but I think Kate will answer that when we talk to her.
I hope.
Yeah.
Guess what age she died? Natalie Williams.
Christ age?
33.
33.
That's when Jesus Christ died.
I'm telling you, bro. I'm just saying.
This here goes. Super do you guys see how these insane conspiracy theories that go nowhere start? Because Sam goes, I'm just saying. And then all of a sudden.
Where's a picture, like, Brian?
Obviously,
this find is me. Hey.
The whole thing's a
silo. If you find me a picture of her, I will give you $100. Okay. You spend
the
your
whole
time.
Thing is a psyop.
No, I'm not saying that. Now, the weird thing was that Kate Quigley was on Joey Diaz's show a couple days before this. Mm. And she had talked about how she was neighbors with guess who? If you had to guess.
If I had to guess who she was neighbors with, I know exactly who. Hunter Biden. Am I right?
Yeah. I'm just saying, dude.
I know that because he moved to the Venice Canals.
Don't talk about that.
Now you listen.
You talk about that.
You listen to me right now.
You listen to me right now. You don't talk about that.
Listen.
Edit that out.
No. Don't
edit
that out.
Beep that out, dude.
Don't beep it out. Now listen.
Beep it out.
Listen up, you fuck. All right, listen up.
Beep that out.
Listen, don't equate the overdose of.
Don't beep it.
Fuck. He's got to turn it all into a conspiracy. This is not a conspiracy.
Brian, you don't find that weird.
I sure don't, Sam.
You don't find it weird that you can't find anything on a 33-year-old white girl.
We'll find out. Well, we will find out. But she probably wasn't a comedian. She was probably a civilian who, you know, God bless and God, it was a tragedy. But maybe her family's keeping it, you know, quiet.
Right.
Either way, it had nothing to do with Hunter Biden.
I'm just saying.
No, I'm just saying.
You're
not allowed to just say.
Dude, if
don't
you can
just
find
say.
It, you got $100 straight cash.
We'll find out who
was
Natalie.
Was she a comedian?
I don't think so.
Because, like, if I go to Kate Quigley's Instagram, right, and then look at everyone she's following.
Yeah.
There's no Natalie Williamson.
Yeah, she probably just met her that night. I think she was with Fu.
Okay.
And I talked to some people who were good friends of Fuquan, and he was, I guess he was just a great guy, man. Everybody said he was just a great dude.
Who is she?
And Natalie Williamson was probably a girl he was dating or he was with. And Sam, I'm just saying that you just saying
dude, I need
has
you.
No
what time
here?
Are we at in this, please?
36 minutes.
Go find and beep out where he says Hunter Biden is.
I gotta
I don't know where Hunter Biden lives.
I gotta pee
I don't know
my,
anything about it.
I'm peeing out of my huge
Yeah,
dick.
You're making a call. Are you going to make a call, Brian?
Come on, dude.
Are you calling somebody?
Come on, man. No.
That's what I thought. Brian I got can't. Really uncomfortable.
I can't even find Fuquan Johnson.
Yeah, he's there. You can find him.
What's his Instagram?
It's listed in if you find out some stories, right? Right? Brian is such a weirdo. It's my bad, Foo. F-U-U. My bad, Foo. Writer. Professional shit talker. Writer.
Here's a Natalie Williams.
See if you can find it.
It's Williamson, right?
Yep. Let me know. I'm here.
All right, let's do this. Let's.
Let's do. What are you doing?
Let's
what,
talk.
Did you just get
talk,
a call?
Let's talk about Hunter Biden. Let's move this over to Hunter Biden. Let's get into some conspiracy. I want to know. Because I'm going to say something about Hunter Biden. I want to say,
oh, I can't wait.
You tell me true or false.
I can't wait.
Hunter Biden.
Yeah.
Clearly used his political clout.
Right.
I.e. through his father.
Yeah.
To get himself in a position where he made some money via the Ukraine.
Right.
And all that stuff.
Right.
Do I believe that Hunter Biden directly or inadvertently interfered in getting his son cleared or whatever it was or helped out. Yeah, but was there a paper play? That's definitely possible. Politics is sure as fuck. Even if it was indirectly. Yeah, and people have talked about this ad nauseum. Hunter Biden, at the end of the day, is the son of a prominent politician who spent a lot of his time, God knows why, but it was substance abuse, real problems with cocaine and drugs and everything else. I've always had a great deal of sympathy with anybody caught up in the whirlwind of drugs, right? We all know.
Right.
And that's what I think he is. I don't know why he should even be a person of interest in any way for conspiracy theorists. I don't know why he is even significant because I don't think he has any clout he has is now gone. I think he was kind of exposed for being not a guy who's got some challenges.
He is the son of the acting president.
I understand. But all he does now is paint and sell his paintings for crazy money.
And he has multiple laptops that just disappeared.
I'm sure.
Listen, what sexually he did is fucking weird. I'm not going to jump outside of hooking up with his dead brother's daughter.
Let me just say this too. There are other things about the laptops. I think the laptop had incriminating stuff on it that would have hindered Biden's ability to win the presidency? Yes. Do I think mainstream media kept that a secret until after the election? Yes. Or do I think they suppressed that story? Yes. Do I think there are people that were very sympathetic to Joe Biden being president in the mainstream media over Trump? Yes. All of that stuff may be true, but that's just politics as usual. And that would be the liberal bent of the media that seems to be in favor of Biden over Trump. No yes. problem. But what I'm saying, Sam, is that I don't think that's a conspiracy. I don't know. Where are you going with this Hunter Biden story?
Well, Hunter Biden actively pursued contacts with companies in China. Mm-hmm. 10 mil for the big guy. And as we know, I mean, he was working with a shipping company out of China.
Okay.
Right?
Okay.
Communists, we all know the Chinese own everything. The Chinese government owns all businesses. You don't own a business. You run a business until the Chinese government wants your business. I know people who did stand up in China. They had a buddy at a comedy club. Chinese officials came, took his building, and gave it to one of their friends.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's how it goes.
Sure.
$10 million for the big guy. Joe Biden's money went from like a couple mil a year to 1 year got jumped up to like 10 million or like 20 million.
Well, he
more.
Also had dealings with the Russians, right?
Russians and the Chinese.
Okay.
And
so he saw business opportunity, took advantage of his political clout.
No, he sold access money to the vice president, dude.
Okay.
Okay. That is ridiculous. Now, within like politics, that seems like business as usual, right?
I think that what happened was that companies in China and Russia were like, hey,
currying favor.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right?
Let's put this guy
that's
on our board.
Backdoor bribery.
Put this guy on our board.
Right.
All that. Sure. Not right. surprising at all. Yes. And
then we got Ukraine
issues. A better question to say is, would Hunter Biden have made any money at all during the Obama presidency if his dad wasn't Joe Biden? The answer is no. He didn't have a skill set that Chinese or Ukrainian or Russian companies would put him on their board or do big deals with, right? I don't think that's a mystery.
Going back to the story that we just talked about, Brian, our friends in the comedy community, the wonderful actor, all basically, they talk about heroin, but there's also rumors it had fentanyl.
Well, it did.
Here we go. Fentanyl, fentanyl, fentanyl. This is silent wars, man. And people need to come to grips with this. The Chinese can't take us on head to head. We would wipe them out. Okay? They lost the war to Japan. That's like the United States losing to Rhode Island. Okay? They can't take us one-on-one. So they have to do silent wars, which is destroying us from within, which is basically, now that we've given Afghanistan up, we've now given all the poppy fields, and I'm not defending the I don't want the poppy fields. We went in there and fucking shish kebabbed everything. Now the Taliban are having meetings with supposedly the bad guys. I think our government's the bad guy, and there's some karma on what we did to the rest of the world. But now if China gets control of that, those opium fields, they're going to stop the flow of real opium into the United States, which sounds great. But what's it going to be replaced with?
Fentanyl. Yeah. Well, most of the fentanyl is made in China.
Right. This is a response to the British India
opium wars. Well, I think also, though, that I don't think Americans need any help from anybody doing all the drugs. And I think that opiates before fentanyl killed and continue to kill a lot of people as well. And his brother's a tragic example of that. So I think that drugs have always been a problem for Americans. And I think, you really wonder at times, Sam, and I want to just say this about to everybody about drugs and I want to bring COVID into this for a second. You know, you wonder that we have this idea in as Americans that, or maybe just as people, human beings, that we have a drug problem. Okay, and now we have to have a war on drugs, meaning we have to enforce drug laws.
Yeah,
and you just wonder sometimes. It's like, do you think you're really going to stop people from altering their state? Is there something about the spiritual vacuum that has been created by modernization, by sort of the quest for money and status by the breaking up of families, the breaking up communities, all in the name of getting that dollar bill. There's a price we pay for this dog-eat-dog economy and world we live in. I'm speaking as a capitalist here, but there's a price you pay. And sometimes you just wonder if we're just going about all of this the wrong way. Maybe if people had a purpose and a deeper mission, they would be able to keep drugs at bay and keep from trying to alter their state. We're profoundly unhappy. Depression and isolation are real things in this community. And I feel the same way about COVID. I see a lot of people spending a lot of time who are really militant about washing their hands, wearing masks, and social distancing, right? And what we're starting to realize is that COVID disproportionately kills people that are overweight. And what's really fascinating is you see people who are really, really serious about their health by wearing a mask and by washing their hands and by getting vaccinated. All good. Okay. All good. However, you're forgetting also that maybe you're not practicing health in the first place. And maybe your body isn't, like if you look at Africa where they don't have a lot of obesity, the COVID actually deaths are much, much lower than in Europe or in the Western part of the world where people are very obese and overweight. And we have Americans who are, I think half Americans are obese or something. Or I mean, I was just in Delaware, dude. I mean, everybody is round. Everybody is round. I saw three skinny people. All due respect to everybody in Delaware, Joe Biden's home state. And I thought to myself, you know, we are profoundly unhealthy. And what's going to kill you way before COVID is the food you're fucking eating. And well, what is going on that we live, that we eat?
They
we
spread eat us in thin, the worst, Ryan.
Yeah.
They spread us thin. Here's
do you know what I'm saying, though? Do you know, 100%. Like where our attention is being, it's like I'm getting ready to fight a lion. And I every day I crack a bullwhip and I practice jabbing a stool in the air in case a lion attacks me. But the lion's not going to kill me because there's no lions right now.
Yeah.
I'm going to be killed by the food I'm fucking eating that's making me fat.
Brian, the question is this. If we know now through the mRNA vaccine that vaccine does not stop infection and does not stop transmission.
Right.
Right? And because the old vaccines that we used to take when we were kids, okay, that stopped transmission, but they had a lot of side effects, so they're like, okay, we gotta get rid of these side effects. So then they came up with the mRNA, and the mRNA stops you from having severe reactions or effects of the virus,
stops death or something.
The first time we've never ever, Brian in and Angelo, we've not, oh, Anthony, God damn it. I was going to make a joke and then I fucked it up. Well, here we go. We've never, ever had in the history of viruses have a virus that mutated stronger. Ever. It's never happened. It doesn't happen. So the question is this. If the vaccine you take does not stop transmission and does not stop infection, why do we have to mandate vaccines?
So the Delta variant, apparently, even though it's more contagious, isn't as deadly. The Delta variant actually is. Right, but
that's not the question.
The question I think from what I understand,
Anthony,
that the vaccine, although it doesn't stop transmission as much, and it certainly doesn't stop you from, it can stop you usually from getting it, but people do get it. And people do have died.
No. For the most part, supposedly to stop the severity,
which is
a personal choice, right? I can decide. Why do you care?
Well, I think what you're saying is that if we know the vaccine, the point of getting a vaccine is to make sure it doesn't spread.
Yeah.
And that makes sure people don't die of it. But if we know that the vaccine doesn't stop you from being a spreader.
Yeah. And doesn't stop you from getting it.
But it does stop the severity. You should leave it up to individuals to decide whether or not they want to take the
100%.
Chance. 100%. And I would also say, too, that when you see people like Rogan who've had it and they get over it in 2 days, now, thanks to all the drugs that they give you, we do know how to deal with this. So when you do get COVID, the death rate is really, really low, even for people who weren't vaccinated who get it, for the most part, because we now have, we've gotten smarter about how to treat it. So your question is well placed. you know?
And people just can't, I mean, the cognitive dissonance involved with this is like, you see people going, I'm in the hospital now, I'm double vaxxed, I got it. I wish people would just start getting the vax. It's like, it makes no sense. It literally makes no sense.
The question is, does the vaccine dramatically lower death rates and transmission? And it might, right?
No, Brian, we literally just said it doesn't stop transmission.
No, we know you can't. It doesn't stop transmission always. Yeah. But for the most part, does it have
an effect? But here's the problem, Brian. It's only on the first. I talked to virologists. I've had them on multiple shows.
Yeah.
It stops the first time. If a variant comes, that vaccine does nothing.
Well, I will say this. It seems to me that even talking the way you're talking, which is citing science and asking questions, scientific questions, was what you're doing. It is what you're doing. You will get kicked off of Facebook and social media.
Oh, dude, I got blocked on. I'm thinking about getting a lawyer and suing Instagram.
Yeah.
Because they keep saying I violated all this. It's like, what did I violate? Everything I posted has been posted by people multiple times.
Well, you're also posting stuff that's been posted by immunologists,
yeah,
virologists, and vaccinologists.
I mean, about getting a lawyer.
Yeah,
I had this one lawyer I wanted to, but I asked her to send nudes, and she apparently doesn't want to represent me anymore.
Well, I mean, dude,
you miss 100% of the shots you don't take. So listen,
she's
dude.
Hot.
Yeah, she's hot.
Wow.
So listen. So my whole point is like, it's no longer about misinformation. It's now about, and I think they're losing the battle of they see it happening. They're losing the battle of the info war. I mean, look at January 6th. That's dropped like a hot potato because they lost that narrative. They've moved on.
Yeah.
And that's why when everyone's talking about this is what they did with the Bolsheviks and blah, blah, blah. I go, That war didn't have the internet.
It didn't have the internet.
And so whatever was in the news, they took at face value.
But Sam, don't you think that the truth, ultimately the truth,
yeah,
comes out? So the debate about biological women versus biological men and there's no difference, that you can say all you want and your political narrative can do whatever it wants. The science is good. At the end of the day, most Americans go, fuck, the most Americans are like, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Brian.
But it's like, fuck off.
Most Americans aren't even engaging in the stupid conversation.
No, they're not. They're trying to get to work, dude. They're trying to get to work.
Most of the conversation is just on the internet between blue check marks and fucking bots meant to get us all to fight with each other.
Or bots, by the way, from other countries.
Yeah.
Like this whole conversation, you're right.
Cultural Marxism, brother.
This whole
conversation. Silent wars. That's what's going on right now.
If the way we highlight some crazy college leftist who's had no experience, who's a child.
Yes.
And how they're like, we want to tear everything down. We want violent overthrow. And it's like, yeah, but most people who are on the left don't feel that way. A lot of times they're just like, the fuck are you, the crazies over there who are like the pronoun Nazis.
Yeah.
And these are fucking the crazy socialists who are like, don't clap, do this. Remember that fucking video where you're like, oh my God, these people are so out of their mind. They're not stable people.
You have privilege. That to tell people not to clap is privilege.
Well, dude, how about I was thinking about James Dannemore, who got fired from Google for posting vetted scientific literature on why men and women differ in temperament and why women may not be as representative in software programming as men are.
Okay.
Why women are not software engineers to the degree that men are. And he posted all the studies that actually looked at why. That's all, in an internal memo. That's all it was. Okay? And it was, and I had read that. I had listened to it and I read it. So it wasn't a surprise. When I read his memo, I was like, yeah, this is standard.
Right.
The standard science. I'd actually, because of my podcast before, I knew a lot about this stuff.
Right.
And so I was like, standard. He got fired. Why? He was creating an unsafe work environment for women.
Yeah.
Now, I wonder how the CEOs of and the people that run Google and all those woke engineers who were like, yay, kick him out for creating an unsafe work environment. How do you guys feel about when I mention Afghanistan now, and I mention a woman who's a literate, educated journalist there, who now can't read, not allowed to read, not allowed to work, maybe not allowed to speak her mind, or she'll be killed. Do you think that's unsafe? And when you say James Dannemore created an unsafe work environment, do you have any fucking perspective?
You have none.
Do you have any perspective? Are you a little embarrassed? At your horseshit, the fact that you don't live in the real world, the fact that you're so fucking privileged and such a bitch that you don't even understand how bad the world can be and how lucky all of you are to work at Google, and that you were literally killing a paper tiger, a tiger that doesn't exist, that you had a bullwhip and a fucking stool, and you were trying to tame a lion that wasn't in the room, you fucking out of touch elitist morons.
Yeah.
I hope they're embarrassed.
They are. Well, they live
because,
in misery.
Because Afghanistan, because Somalia, because so many parts of the world where women really have problems. And if you really care about an unsafe work environment, go to Afghanistan. Do something.
Yeah.
It's the same way I feel about people that are so, these people in Texas who are so fucking crazy about this fucking law. These people are trying to pass a law and did. It won't stand to the higher courts in Texas. But even in rape and incest, a woman can't have an abortion until after 6 weeks, this heartbeat law. Are you going to raise the kids? And if you're that pro-life, I know, all of you who are that pro-life, who are that extreme, I know you've opened up a couple rooms in your house for the foster kids that need to be raised. I hope you have, right? Have you? Because since you love kids so much, do you have a special room where you're fostering children? The answer is probably not. Who's going to raise those kids?
Well, Brian, I want to get into that a little bit. First of all, if you're Texas, right, and you don't want all these California blue libtards moving, what a great way to stop the flow by telling them, hey, we just outlawed abortion. That stopped that pipeline, right?
Yeah.
Right?
That's a good point.
Okay. Yeah. Two, I am pro-choice. I don't even get to the conversation of what specifically we're talking about.
Right.
Okay? If you go, does the government have the right to tell you? Boom, I say no.
Right.
But the problem I have right now with the pro-choice fucking group is how they've completely abandoned that idealism when it comes to vaccines. So you want me to stand with you about your right to choose, but you will not
stand
with me.
My body, my choice.
They completely abandoned it. And like, I have friends who I love with all my heart, who are some of the best people out there, who have done mental gymnastics.
It's hard. Like, you know, it's hard.
It's not hard, Brian.
No, being a human being and not having contradictory beliefs.
Yeah, but Brian, maybe. I'm not perfect. I've caught myself in that.
We all do that. It's fucking hard, man.
Brian, we're talking about people's right to choose and how these people, and I don't even believe they're all real, all these tweets, but we've seen tweets talk about people like, let them die. Don't, time to fucking drop the hammer on these unvaxxed people. I mean, like, please tell me, and the blessings is, again, the internet, so we can push back, how, like, some of these people on the left are talking about the unvaxxed the way Germans talked about Jews. The demonization of a group of people. And you can say whatever you want. Jewish, you're born that way. Well, you pick your religion as well. You're picking your right to choose between vax or unvax based on science. And the way these people are demonizing them with zero science, we've allowed the dumb. When I fly, right, I know if I have a super gay crew or a super older women crew, they're going to be looking for nostrils when I'm fucking with my mask.
So true.
They are. The more gay the crew is, the more they're on you about your nose. These are, like, I'm sorry, dude. And this is Sam speaking, not Brian. It blows
so
my
true,
mind.
Though. This is strangely true.
They are so
true.
Worried about my nostrils when they've been barebacking each other's assholes with fucking HIV and not even thinking twice about it. But if you can see my nostrils, you're flipping the fuck out. You're sticking dicks in buttholes with AIDS out there.
Hold on.
And you're fucking going nuts.
Hold on. Let's not get too crazy with that. I mean, you don't know that for a fact.
You don't. Brian, are you telling me you don't know dudes are barebacking?
Well, they might be barebacking, but there are a lot of people that take certain drugs where the virus is not
detectable.
That's
not what the point is. Now we are.
But why do you have to always make everybody a power bottom every time they're wrong?
Because that's not, dude, you
like,
get.
Why are you bringing masks
if
and
AIDS
being
is
a power
even
bottom
real,
into
which
it?
Is debatable. Because most people died from AZT.
Oh my God.
Right?
AIDS was real. But you
get the virus by what?
Oh my
it's
God.
A weak virus. You have to inject it with you. I've been to meetings where everybody's gay, got HIV. Every one of them is like, yeah, I shot
well,
needles.
That, but we know there's a reason for that. There's a scientific reason for that without going into it. But you know, can you not?
There's a big reason for that. No, I don't want to discuss it right now.
No, there is.
I'm on a show where we discuss issues, but I don't want to discuss it right now.
So they actually, it's really a fascinating reason. So they couldn't figure out why.
Did you hear this on audio?
No, this is a fact. They couldn't figure out why AIDS was not a heterosexual disease in Europe, but it was in Africa and Southeast Asia. They couldn't figure it out. Like why? Why was AIDS so prevalent in Africa among men and women, especially heterosexual people, but not so slim to vanishing in the, and then they said, why are gay men who survived this epidemic? And I know several, why were the gay men who survived the epidemic? And it was such, I was in New York and I saw so many people fucking, it was awful.
You gave so many
people
AIDS?
So many people died terribly. No, but another thing they couldn't figure out was why are the men who survived this epidemic, again, one of whom was my acting teacher, the ones who were not getting fucked, but they were doing the fucking. So the power bottoms were the ones who all died.
Right.
But the ones who weren't and who were fucking were. What was it? And why wasn't that case? So you know what they found, which is fascinating?
Poppers.
Nope. If you are of Western European descent, let's just take, or European descent actually in general, not Western, European descent. You are a survivor. You have a genetic variation that allowed you to survive the bubonic plague. The plagues killed up to half of Europe. I mean, they were so bad. If you look at the history of the plagues, it was unbelievable, right? The bubonic plague. It comes from the fleas of that were on rats. And it was a really, really prevalent disease. And you can't read the history of Europe, and I've done a lot of it, without bringing the plague into it. You can't even read medieval history, especially, without knowing what the plagues did. And everybody who was an author back then or a historian talks about the plague. Now, the bottom line is, if you survived it, you had a genetic mutation, a genetic variant that makes you HIV resistant. That bubonic plague did not hit jungles of Africa. It wasn't there. They had their own diseases. But what's fascinating is that when they looked at African people where in those areas where it was rampantly heterosexual, they did not have that. They did not have that genetic mutation. So the long and the short of it is, the people that died of AIDS, if you are a straight man, you have to shoot it into your body. You will not get it through your penis. When you just have sex, you're not going to get it through vaginal fluids. You're not going to get it by even in putting it in somebody's ass.
Right.
But when it's put in, there are micro tears and all kinds of stuff. Then your semen mixes. Wow. And that's why. So that's why it was, because, and for the longest time, they couldn't figure it out. And they finally figured out that was why. So
why did, no, well, if you're asking me, people didn't die from AIDS. They died from AZT.
Well, okay, but I can bring in some doctors who actually were on the front line, and they'll go like this. They'll just shake their head.
All
like,
right.
Okay. All right. It's like when this fucking scumbag, I can't remember his name, he owned a vitamin company, and he went into Africa, and he was selling his vitamin packages for HIV. And you could see the fucking doctors who were living with AIDS themselves and who are treating people of this thing. And they were doing this. And the black doctors were like this. They were just going, like, they were so mad. They were, and then they started shouting and stuff. I can't remember the guy's name. He made a fortune, though.
That was a fun, weird story.
Well,
Brian, anyway, the point is,
you're an AIDS denier, and you think
people are power bottoms
are the problem.
No, I don't think power. Dude, do all the weirdness you want. I'm just saying, it's really weird that a community that was just barebacking each other's assholes suddenly is like, gotta wear your mask, gotta wear your mask. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah, I do think that you can tell. I don't know about them being gay, but I do think that a lot of times you can see a crew,
yeah,
and you can tell right away if they're going to be Nazis about the masks,
yeah,
if they're going to be nostril Nazis, or if they're not going to be nostril Nazis.
It's very interesting. Older women too.
Yeah.
Anya. They're Anya.
They are Anya. This has happened to me yesterday. The older women in the, yeah, they were in their 40s and 50s, and they were nostril Nazis.
Yeah, 100%.
Literally, they were like, they said to Danny, they were like, you got to bring it up. It's not, it's on here. It's on the edge of your nose. You got to, I was like,
zero science. And what they do is, and like, I don't even want to fly Delta anymore because they're forcing their.
Dr. Matthias Raff, that piece of shit right there.
Was that him?
I think so. Yeah, that's the fucking guy who made a lot of money.
Dude, your language, it's uncalled for.
I think that's the bad guy. He's a bad guy.
No, the bad guy is Fauci. Make no doubts about.
By the way, I don't want to get sued for defamation. By the way,
why are we
in still- my Anthony, hold on, it's very important. Dr. Matthias Rath, in my opinion, from what I've read, is a bad fucking dude. That is my opinion.
No, the bad dude is Dr. Fauci.
Just yeah, like that guy, Matthias Rath, made a lot of money spreading.
So is in Fauci.
Spreading information in
Fauci
Africa.
Push AZT when he knows
please,
it didn't work.
Please don't compare him to Matthias Rath.
Brian, he's 1,000 times worse than that guy.
Okay.
Well, he's the Hitler
read
of AIDS.
Read up on Matthias Rath.
Yeah, you read up on Fauci about how AZT was a fucking toxic.
He's a vitamin
cancer
salesman and
fucking drug that he fucking knew didn't work, and they pushed it on the AIDS community.
Let me see
because
a picture.
They had it sitting in the on the shelf.
Let me see a picture
Let
me see a picture of Matthias Rath. What a bad guy. That right there is a sociopath.
Yeah.
In my opinion.
Will you show me a picture of Dr. Fauci? Why are we listening to Dr. Fauci anymore? Why is CNN, even in their corrupt, retard ways, having Dr. Fauci, who we all know funded this fucking lab.
Sam, can I ask you a question?
Brian.
Do you think he has horns?
No. But he is a Jesuit.
Oh, so that's why?
Yeah.
And you think that Dr. Fauci actually wants people to die of disease?
Of course.
You think he wants people to?
I think he's a scumbag.
But no, do you think he's intentionally
I would
murdering?
Take your doctor that you hate and fist him with... I fist Fauci's ass with his head.
Because you think Fauci...
Fauci's a scumbag that killed millions of people, and he's a Hitler.
Gain-of-function research.
Yeah.
And so he's responsible for AIDS and COVID?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Really?
That's so cool.
Just him.
I think we should end the... I think the show... I think Conspiracy Social Club is over. I mean, we all came to an agreement.
So he's the guy.
The show's done.
So he's the guy, huh?
Yeah.
Huh. Interesting.
So cool, Brian. I love when you get... Dude! Oh, look at this! It's number 86! And Brian's 86 to his skepticism!
No, I've not.
Hi, guys. If we're working in a restaurant right now, guys,
nope.
86 skepticism?
Nope.
Brian believes everything that Sam says?
Nope.
Because Sam's right.
I think Dr. Fauci is a bureaucrat who...
You're disgusting.
Who, if anything, is probably way overcautious and probably...
Hello, Fauci, Hitler of AIDS.
And I don't know why you keep saying... Why was he the Hitler of AIDS again?
Because he killed a bunch of people of AIDS.
Explain why.
Because he pushed AZT on
people.
He
wasn't the one who pushed AZT.
Of course he did,
no,
Brian.
No, the whole medical community...
Brian, I'm going to get on the doctor.
The whole medical community at the time, and I remember this very well, very well.
Brian,
at the time,
true.
We didn't
not
have...
True.
At the time,
not
we
true.
Didn't have a
not
treatment for true. Human acquired not immunity true. Deficiency not syndrome. True. We not didn't have true. A fucking, true. We didn't have a treatment for that, Sam. And so what happened true. Was, not my friend, true. That not they true. That they had not. AZT, which I believe had been used on cancer patients in the 50s.
Yeah.
Highly toxic. It was all we had.
Yeah.
It was.
Right.
And then they stopped using it. But you're saying Fauci? That yeah. was a that was the medical community yeah. in general.
Fauci killed the gay community. It's known except for Brian and his fucking books on tape.
You just said that the gay that people who take it in the power bottoms are the ones that make you cover your face with a mask.
Right. Yeah. I mean, we agree on something.
Do they take poppers?
Poppers is a big part of it too. Lowers your immunity.
So what do poppers do? They open your sphincter. They relax you.
Supposedly they relax your butt.
What is a popper again?
Will you look up poppers?
Let me get my hand on my pants first.
Can we find some porn where dudes are fucking with poppers? Yeah, they're poppers.
Did you see D'Elia's hilarious Instagram?
I love D'Elia.
Yeah, I mean, it's TikTok. Let me send this to you. Oh, this is so stupid. Watch this.
Popper is slang for given broadly to drugs and chemical class alkaline nitrates that are inhaled. Most widely sold products in original blah, 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 and blah, blah, blah. Widely used. Oh, it's banned in Europe. You can't do poppers. What are poppers? What do they do? Are poppers safe? Guys, it's been a great show. What is that guy? Go up. Go to that picture. What's going on? What's the side effects of using poppers? Like nobody's fucking? Yeah, you do get... You get what? Allergic reactions. Oh. Increased... What?
Headaches. Intraocular
skin
pressure.
Skin lesions around nose and lips.
Nice. Oh. Sounds great. Let me sign me up for poppers. The fuck?
Dude, I want to bring poppers. I want you to do it one
chemical
time.
Chemical psychoactive alkaline nitrates. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Nitrates. It's like it opens a blood vessel, so it's like what Viagra does.
Yeah,
dude. All right, kids. We love you. Guys, come see me in Buffalo this
weekend.
I now
put my special on YouTube.
Everyone's, when are you going to send me? When are you going to send me a clip
so I can?
I want to promote.
I got to clip it up.
All right, it's you're going to be at the Rock and Roll Pizza Harley's.
Don't mock me,
Pizza Harley's. All right,
guys. On the 16th, I'm in Huntington Beach. On the 17th, I'm in Kansas City, and on the 18th, I'm in Omaha, Nebraska. Holla at your ball.
All right,
Hachima.
We love you guys. Conspiracy Social Club.
When people ask, is everything a conspiracy? The answer is yes.
Who and what is controlling everything and why? They practice sorcery. I can't argue against magic.
I don't know what it is that we live on, but I believe it's a realm. This realm that we live in is the lowest level of heaven, highest level of hell.
Chicken snake gods and the Anunnaki and sorcery. If Sam says the chicken snake god is running everything, I'm literally in the world of crazy. I'm winning.
You're losing. Conspiracy Social Club, aka Deep Waters.
This Valentine's Day, Dunkin's got the perfect pairings to show your love. So get down on one knee with a dozen brownie batter donuts and a cocoa mocha signature latte. Or make them swoon with a strawberry dragon fruit Dunkin' refresher with a Cupid's Choice donut. Are you ready for love? America runs on Dunkin'. Price and participation may vary. Limited time offer.